There is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to change the station. We are controlling the transmission. We control the volume. We can change the tone to a fuzzy bass or focus it to a tinny treble.
We can speed things up so fast you can hardly understand what's being said.
Or we can make things so slow you don't care.
We control the content. We can make it boring.
Mystery Playhouse.
Or moronic.
90.1.
We can even make it repetitive.
Mystery Playhouse.
Or moronic.
90.1.
We can even make it repetitive. It's our show. We can do anything we want. Because this is
Mystery Playhouse 90.1.
Welcome once more to the Mystery Playhouse. I am the Count, your host of horror. Come in. I was just finishing up with my garden in the cellar. I've been trying to utilize all my extra plot, or a lot.
Oh, yes.
Nice, isn't it? You've heard of the War of the Roses? Well, these are the roses that didn't survive, huh?
Really? Boy,
I don't know if they'll grow into anything practical like fruit, but if they do, I hope they're not as ripe as they are.
Really?
Yes, the enemies did always call them worms, and by now they probably are, But whatever their personalities were before, rest assured they've since become quite earthy, huh? In fact, I've rarely seen a group with their feet on the ground so firmly planted, huh? I mean, really, why settle for a green thumb when you could have several of them complete with bodies? But enough of the bone archer, and on to tonight's show. We'll hear the weird circles, the expected air, as well as Suspense's sorry wrong number. But first, it's a shuttle with Death in a Minor Key, so scary!
The hearts of men. The shadow knows.
Once again, Mutual Don Lee brings you the thrilling adventures of the shadow, the hard and relentless fight of one man against the forces of evil. These dramatizations are designed to demonstrate forcibly to old and young alike that crime does not pay. June, the traditional month of weddings. June, the month when almost every American knows someone, either relative or close friend, who goes on that happy march down the aisle. As you see the blushing bride and her bashful groom, your thoughts naturally turn to the future. Will these young people, starting off so bravely in life together, eventually own their own home, say a pleasant white cottage in the country, or the more sturdy red brick house of the city? They will, if they follow this advice. Save money regularly through United States Savings Bonds. There's no better investment in the world. Savings bonds are both safe and profitable. In just 10 years' time, they pay back $4 for every $3 you put in. Now is the time to back your future. Save today for a happy tomorrow through United States Savings Bonds. They are always conveniently available at banks, post offices, and on the payroll savings plan where you work. But now, the shadow.
Today, by popular request, Blue Coal again brings you one of the most outstanding shadow dramatizations of all time, the exciting story called Death in a Minor Key. The shadow, who aids the forces of law and order, is in reality Lamont Cranston, wealthy young man about town. Years ago in the Orient, Cranston learned a strange and mysterious secret. the hypnotic power to cloud men's minds so they cannot see him. Branson's friend and companion, the lovely Margot Lane, is the only person who knows to whom the voice of the invisible shadow belongs. Today's drama, Death in a Minor Key.
Death in a Minor Key. You know, to me, that expression brings back the memory of a series of weird, eerie musical notes in a minor key that had a tragic bearing on my life. It's funny, isn't it, how all of us recall a certain sound that we associate in our minds with a strange, indeterminate feeling of uneasiness or fear. Like, yeah, like the cry of a coyote as it's silhouetted against the night sky. Or the wild shriek of a siren as an ambulance catapults through the city's darkened streets. And then there's even the sound of a distant train whistle punctuating the evening stillness, bringing with it that lost, empty sensation of being all alone in a strange, lonesome world around. Huh. That's odd, I just happened to think. All of those sounds that I described are night sounds. I guess that does have significance, too. Because the night is, well, night is a time for fear. And it was at night, too, that those notes in a minor key were heard. Faintly at first. Ever so faintly. Played on a strange instrument. Then as they came closer, you heard uneven, heavy-footed steps. The sounds are louder now. The footsteps nearer. Nearer. Well, I seem to be getting ahead of my story. It's one that I think will interest you, so if you'd like me to pass it on, suppose I start at the beginning. My name is Terry Mason. My mother and father died in an accident when I was 12, and I was brought up by an only uncle. My story really begins down in Santo Domingo, where I spent 2 years supervising one of the family plantations. Well, Santo Domingo was all right, but believe you me, I was a very happy guy when the day finally arrived for me to board a ship to return to the States. The main reason for that happiness was, because I was in love. Yeah, not only in love, but on my way to get married. The girl was Barbara Norton, so you can imagine how anxious I was for that boat to get to New York and get there fast. Well, I got to New York all right, and the following day in a little church downtown.
Do you, Barbara Norton, take this man to be your lawful wedded husband?
I do.
I do. Yeah, it was a beautiful ceremony, I guess. But I wasn't the man who married Barbara Norton. What happened? Well, there were probably a dozen reasons. So let's just say that 2 years was too long for her to wait. Well, a thing like that's pretty tough to take. All my hopes and dreams of a future were wrapped up in Barbara. Then all of a sudden, boom, there's nothing. After she was gone, there was only one thing to do. Try to forget. To lose myself in bright lights, music, and the gay whirl of the city's night spots. When one place would close, I'd dig up another. My favorite hangout was the Sky Room. Of course, I know I shouldn't have gone there because everyone knew me. But I just liked the idea of kicking it around 40 stories above the ground. I never took a table, just sat at the bar and listened hazily to the jumble of conversation around me.
Care to dance, Margo?
Not yet, Lamont. I'm having too much fun just watching. Oh, darling.
Hmm?
You see that young man sitting at the bar? You know, he's been staring at you for the past 10 minutes.
Hey, wait a minute. I believe I know him. Of course, that's young Terry Mason. For heaven's sake, I haven't seen him in years.
Well, if he's a friend, ask him over.
Do you mind?
No, I wish you would.
Terry? Hey, Terry.
Yeah? Oh, Lamont.
Come on over.
If he can make it. He almost landed on that table.
Hello, Terry. I'm glad to see you.
How are you, Lamont?
Well, fine, thank you. This is Miss Lane, Terry.
How do you do?
Hi, Terry.
Sit down.
All right.
Now, tell me, where have you been all these years?
Hmm? Oh, Santa Domingo plantation stuff. 2 years of it.
Finally got fed up and came back, huh?
Are you kidding?
Well, what do you mean?
You know why I came back.
I'm afraid I don't.
Hey, you see, Miss Lane, that's Cranston, always the gentleman. Well, I'll tell you, my friend, I came back to get married. But you want to know what happened? I was jilted.
Oh, that's a shame.
There was I, waiting at the church. Oh, come on, let's have a drink.
Who was the girl?
Barbara Norton.
Oh. Barbara Norton? Yes, I know her.
Nice kid. Good to her parents. Woman of her word, too. Yeah, woman of a word.
Well, just what happened, Terry?
I was away too long. That's the story they give me. I was away too long. But that isn't the real story, not by a long shot.
What do you mean, Terry?
They're all working together on this thing. They're working against me.
Who? Who's working together?
My uncle, Barbara, and her father, Dr. Norton.
I don't understand.
My uncle controls my inheritance, Lamont. Today I learned that he and Dr. Norton were planning to confine me in the doctor's private sanitary. What do you think of that?
Well, now, maybe they're doing it for your own good.
Oh, sure. Just like Barbara married somebody else for my own good. Oh, no. No, sir. They're all working together. They want that inheritance. And if they get me to that sanitarium, they know they'll have it.
Where is this place, Terry?
It's up the Hudson. It used to be our family home.
Terry, I think you're putting too much stress on this whole thing.
Lamont, you've got to believe me. If they confine me in that place, I'll never come out alive. Well, in spite of all I could do, they put me in the sanitarium the next day. It's for your own good, Terry, they kept telling me. Oh, yes. What they really meant was that it was for their own good. Well, I kept my eyes and ears open, waiting for something to happen. And then, that very first night in the hall of the sanitarium, a sound came. Nearer. I rushed to the phone quickly. I knew that I had to call Lamont Cranston at once. He was the only one that I could turn to.
Don't answer that, Lamont. I know it'll be someone who'll give an excuse for not taking me to the lecture.
That, Margaret, would be the neatest pick of the week. No such luck. I'd better answer.
Hey.
Hello. Yes. Yes, Terry. How are you? Where are you? Sanitarium. What? Murder. Are you sure? I see. Yes, I know where the place is. All right, Terry, I'll be right up.
What's the trouble?
It's Terry Mason. Someone's just been murdered at the sanitarium.
Ooh.
Come along, darling. We'll go up there at once.
You know, Mr. Cranston, when you're first telling me that I'm thinking of my cab to house up the Hudson, I am thinking of only one house which is up the Hudson. And this house is not a house which I am fond of, indeed, on account of bars which is on the window.
Yes, I know, Shreve. Turn left in this driveway.
Yes.
Oh, Lamont, is that the sanitarium up there on the hill?
Yes, darling.
Gee, it's a grim-looking place, isn't it? Old stone walls, high turrets. Almost looks like a prison.
The house to which I'm referring is a prison also, although it ain't the same house, isn't it?
You'd better stop here, Shreve.
Yes.
Why, aren't you going right up the door?
No, Terry will meet us at the cellar door. He doesn't want anyone to know we're coming.
Do you really think that a murder's been committed here, darling?
I don't know, Margot. The whole thing may be a wild goose chase. Young Terry's in a highly nervous condition, mm-hmm. But I do think it's worth an investigation. You wait here, Shreve.
And I'm keeping beside me my jackhammer just in case.
Come on, darling.
Not a bad idea. Look. The whole place is shrouded in darkness.
Well, it's quite late, you know.
Yeah, but you'd think it. Come on. What's that?
What? What are you talking about?
Look. that cloaked figure disappearing into the shadows of the building.
Yes.
You see
it? Yes, I see him, Margot. That looks very much like Terry's uncle.
Oh, then you know him, then?
Yes. Both he and Dr. Norton are old friends of mine.
He's gone now.
I wonder what he's doing here.
Oh.
This must be the cellar door Terry mentioned. He should be right inside.
Is that you, Lamont?
Yes, I have Miss Lane with me.
I see. Come in, both of you. Watch your step. Now, follow me.
Terry, what is all this?
You've got to be quiet, please. Murder is still in the house. Perhaps even at this very minute, he's listening to our conversation.
What murder? Who are you talking about?
We'll stop here. Now, do you see that door?
Yes.
That leads to the operating room. In that room is the body of the woman who's been murdered.
How do you know?
They took her there a few minutes ago.
Who? Who are they?
My uncle and Dr. Norton.
And that was Terry's uncle we saw.
Yes. Look, Terry, how do you know that a murder has been committed?
Well, I just know, that's all.
Did you actually see it done?
No, I didn't.
Well, then.
But I did hear something. Weird music in a minor key, accompanied by the uneven thump of a cripple walking. When the music reached a crescendo, the woman screamed. And then she was found dead.
Who's the woman?
An elderly patient here at the sanitarium.
But who would kill her? What's the motive?
I have a theory about that, too. In fact, it's more than a theory. That old lady who just died was a very wealthy woman. My uncle handles all of her investments. In fact, every one of them in this sanitarium is a person of wealth. And all of them are friends of my uncle and Dr. Norton.
Not accusing them of murder, Tim.
Why not? Why have they got me here? To get me out of the way, that's why. I'm just one of the hand-picked victims. But they're not getting me, do you hear me?
No.
That's why
Terry,
I called you to
Terry,
help me.
Take it easy.
Margot, take Terry upstairs to his room. Please, did he take something to make him sleep?
No, I want to know. I want to know what that music was that I heard.
Please, Terry. If you want me to help, you must go along with Margot. I want to investigate a few things here by myself.
All right. This way, Miss Lane. Up these stairs.
Just a minute. Come on, what are you going to do?
I'm going to pay a visit to that operating room, Margot. As the shadow.
Have you examined the body completely, Doctor?
Yes, and believe me, when the coroner arrives, he'll find nothing wrong.
You're sure of that?
Yes, I am.
Doctor, what can we do about Terry?
Frankly, I don't know.
The boy must be taken care of. He must be.
What's that?
You'll pardon my intruding on your private conversation, gentlemen.
Who are you? Where are you?
I'm called the Shadow, gentlemen.
Shadow?
You heard of me, perhaps?
Yes, of course.
You must know that although I stand here beside you, you cannot see me. By my hypnotic power, I've clouded your mind.
Why are you here?
I am seeking information, gentlemen. Information about the death of that woman whose body lies on the table before you.
Why, there is no information to give you.
No? How did she die?
We can't tell that until the coroner arrives.
It couldn't have been murder, could it, Doctor?
Murder? I don't know what you mean.
Just before her death, did you by any chance hear music? Weird music and the sound of a cripple walking?
No, we heard nothing.
Why are you so anxious to get rid of young Terry Mason?
Get rid of him?
Yes. Didn't I hear you say the boy must be taken care of?
I didn't mean it that way.
Those were your words, gentlemen. Just let me warn you. I'm very interested in the welfare of young Terry Mason. And if anything should happen to him, anything at all, gentlemen, I warn you. You'll answer to the Shadow.
For many businessmen, few things in life add up to more pleasure than a good old fishing trip. There's that indescribable thrill you get when your wily game rises to the lure and strikes. There's the thrill of hauling him in. And later around the campfire as you fry the day's catch, there's the fun of telling your pals how the big one got away. Yes, fishing's a grand sport, and chances are you'll want to do more and more of it as the years roll on. Of course, more fishing means you'll need more leisure time, and more leisure time calls for money. The best way in the world to guarantee yourself money for any reason in the future is to save now through United States Savings Bonds. What a swell investment they are. It only takes 10 years for each $3 you invest to grow into 4. Try and match that. Besides, United States savings bonds make it so easy to save. Just buy a bond yourself each payday at any bank or post office, or get on the payroll savings plan. Either way, your money adds up fast and you hardly miss it. Folks, back your future by saving now. For a happy tomorrow, save today. Buy and hold United States savings bonds. And now back to the shadow.
Raise the leash, Shreve. Hop in, darling.
Oh, thanks.
Mr. Cranston, I ask you should ignore paying any attention to that taxi meter. You should.
Why, Shreve?
The jack handle and I'm holding for my protection slipped and fell against it and up for $20.
Don't worry, I'll ignore it all.
I'm referring to, referring to it in my accounts with my paper profit.
Okay, Shreve.
Lamont, what'd you learn downstairs?
Well, I went into that operating room and found that Terry's uncle and Dr. Norton were examining the corpse of the old woman who died.
Do you think she was murdered?
Well, I saw no evidence of violence. Both men swore she'd met a natural death.
Then you think it was just Terry's imagination after all?
No, I don't. It's hard to say at this point just what I do think.
Well, do you still think that Terry might be right?
Yes, I do.
Well, then what do you propose to do?
I think I'm going to call on you for help, darling.
Me help? How?
Tomorrow I want you to go to Dr. Norton's office, pretend you're verging on a nervous breakdown, and gain admittance to the sanitarium as a patient.
Well, all right, but how does one inquire a nervous breakdown?
How? Just watch the cabbie take these turns.
Not a bad suggestion.
No, seriously, Margo, I do this myself. Only Dr. Norton and Terry's uncle both know me. Now, what do you say?
Well, sure, but... Sure, I'll do it.
Good girl. You must see the doctor first thing tomorrow and gain admittance to the sanitarium no later than tomorrow night.
Quite comfortable, Miss Lane.
Yes, thank you, ma'am.
Well, there's a cord right above your bed if you wish to ring.
Yes,
for.
I know. You told me that.
Well, I'll just open your window and put out your light. There, now. Do try to get a good night's sleep.
I'll try.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Try to get a good night's sleep. That's funny. Well, I can try. Where's that light? There. Doesn't work. Lights have been cut off. Someone's coming in the door. Who is that? Why don't you answer me? Now, don't come any closer because I'm...
Shh. Quiet, Miss Lane, if I tell you.
Oh, you frightened me.
Sorry, but you must come with me to the cellar at once. The killer's loose again.
Margot, you all right?
Oh, Lamont, what are you doing here?
I was outside keeping watch and I heard the scream. First, I thought it might have been you.
No, I'm all right, thanks to Terry here.
I think the murderer struck again.
Yes, and just the way that Terry described. The weird music, the footsteps, and then the scream.
Who was it this time?
I don't know. But there was one unusual thing that Miss Lane didn't mention. The footsteps seemed to be coming down a staircase. And yet, there are no stairs in that wing of the house.
Yes, I noticed that too.
Anything else?
Yes, there is. About 25 minutes ago, I heard the house phone ring. I listened in on the extension in my room, and I heard my uncle tell Dr. Norton that he'd be over here shortly.
Yes, I saw his car drive in. Well,
Uh-oh.
Someone next door in the operating room.
It sounds like Uncle and Dr. Norton.
That's the latest victim's body in there.
Oh, Lamont,
I... Terry, go back upstairs at once. Get back to your rooms before you're missed.
Yeah, that's right. Come on, Miss Lane.
I'll be right with you, Terry.
Yes.
Come on, what are you going to do now?
The Shadow's going to pay another call in the operating room and try to unravel this mystery.
See here, old man, I do think this thing has gone too far.
Doctor, you promised me that we'd see this through together.
I know, but the second death is too much.
I should say that's understatement, Dr. Norton.
Shadow again.
Yes, gentlemen. This time I shan't be as lenient with you. The body on that table should be examined by me, not you, Doctor. You fooled the police with your first murder. You'll do the same with this second one.
Are you accusing us of killing?
I am. Hello, what's this? So, step over here, gentlemen. That's it. Now, examine that mark behind the patient's left ear.
Look, Doctor. He's right.
That tricornered puncture was the cause of this woman's death.
Then it was murder.
So, you agree with me at last.
But you don't think that we killed her?
I'm not sure yet. I want you both to go to Dr. Norton's study. And do not leave there until the shadow calls.
Hello?
Are you alone, Margot?
Yes, I'm on.
I'm coming right up to your room. The murderer's about to strike again.
Oh, no.
Yes, darling. I have reason to believe that you've been selected as his next victim.
Who is it?
Sorry, Lamont, open up.
Oh, I'm so glad it's you.
Put out your light, Marco, quickly.
Well, yes, surely, but...
We must have darkness. Enough light from the moon. You'll see. I purposely called you on the house phone, Margot, because I knew the murderer would be listening in. Then through his fear of my knowing his identity, he'll pick this time to try to kill us both.
Oh, that's a pleasant little thought. But who is this murderer?
I'm not mistaken. It'll be a long, black, highly poisonous snake. He's a tri-cornered mark on its victim.
A snake? Oh, gosh, Lamont, they scare me to death.
Quiet, please, darling. The snake may be in the room now, ready to strike. You've got to listen for her. Look out, Margo! I got him.
Oh, Lamont!
I saw him come in through that window. I guess I closed it on him just in time.
Cut his body in two.
Yes. Well, that takes care of that.
So that's our murderer.
No, darling, only the instrument of death. Our murderer should be paying us a call in a moment to add the final macabre touch to what he expects has been a double killing this time.
Again, as if he were descending a flight of stairs. And yet there are no stairs.
Shh, I don't speak. So watch that panel on the wall. You see? Slowly opening.
All right, good.
Oh, you got him. Lamont, you got him.
Yes, he'll play a different tune this time. Put on the light, Margaret.
Light.
Well... there's our murderer.
Oh. Oh, that face. Those long fangs and those popping eyes. Doesn't look human.
It isn't human, Margot. That's a mask. It's worn to hide his true identity. Now take it off. There.
Well, Lamont,
that just about ends my story. But you can see what a mess I almost got Lamont and Miss Lane into. Fortunately for them, they found out the murderer in time. This killer's motive was a familiar one. Revenge. Trying to implicate those he thought had wronged him. As you probably already deduced, the club foot was a disguise. And the weird music came from a strange oboe-like instrument that he used to hypnotize the snake. Yes, he thought he was being very smart. But right on down the line, it's been pretty well proven that the smart guy in the long run gets just what he gives out.
Time to go, Terry.
Oh, yeah. Didn't realize I was so long. I was just telling these people a story. Not a bad one either, if I do say so myself.
You'd better come along, Mason.
Okay.
Patri sono i potenti cui te creavi. O di essere in pace, lo che tu hai abitato.
Thank you.
Having been sentenced to die for committing the crime of murder, I hereby pronounce Terry Mason legally dead.
Rome wasn't built in a day, as the saying goes, and neither is the wherewithal it takes to make your dreams about the future come true. That little farm on the edge of town, that really long vacation trip you've been promising yourself. If you're air-minded, one of those nifty little private planes that'll be coming along in a few years. Those and lots of other things don't just happen. You have to plan for them. Save up the money it takes to make them come true. It's a swell break, therefore, that you can go right on buying United States savings bonds. Government guaranteed and good interest rate. Make United States savings bonds your best bet to back your future. Actually, for each $3 you invest, you get back $4 in just 10 years' time. Use the payroll savings plan or buy savings bonds yourself regularly at any bank or post office. Save today for a happy tomorrow by regularly buying and keeping United States savings bonds. And now the shadow again.
The Shadow program is based on a story copyrighted by Street & Smith Publications. The characters, names, places, and plot are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
Weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The shadow knows.
Isn't that scary, huh? Dead in a minor key. Like I've heard of being mad about music, but really, huh? If you ask me, that killer was definitely out of tune with reality, huh? Too bad, too. Insane or not, for his crimes, he still had to face the music, huh?
Really?
Funny, isn't it? Mad and yet so clever. You would think someone crazy couldn't be sharp.
Be sharp, huh?
And he would have gotten away with it, too, if only he could have stopped playing encore. Psst, huh?
Really?
Though I have to admit, though, at least you can say he committed his crimes with a concerted effort, huh? No, really. Take, for instance, that reptile through the window trick. Now that's what I call a snake in the glass, huh? Up next, it's the weird circle with the expected air. So scary!
Out of the past, phantoms of a world gone by speak again the immortal tale, Expectations of an Heir.
Yes, there she goes, my beloved Aunt Maura, her skirts rustling as she waddles up the stairs to her room. My earliest memories are memories of her, always dressed in the same way, heavy dark dresses which only accentuate her huge body, her fat body, always waddling from our dark living room up the circular wooden stairway to her room on the second floor, leaving behind a faint scent of mimosa perfume, mixed with the sweet odor of rice powder and the dusty smell of old clothes. Aunt Maura. Mother, father, brother, and sister. All these she has been to me. My only relative, Aunt Maura. There's always been just two of us. Alone together. And the butler, Andrew. Only he leaves us alone together, too. Everybody does. You see, we're so devoted to each other. They say a lot of things. wealthy Aunt Mora and that sweet nephew of hers. So devoted, so devoted.
So devoted a man he is. It's amazing the way those two are always together.
I don't see anything amazing about it. She's devoted her life to him. After all, she's all he's got. And he's her favorite brother's child.
But cooping a young man up like that, it isn't natural. Someday he'll find a woman and get married. You mark my words.
Ralph Weston marry? Nonsense. Maybe he might have a long time ago, that Alice Godwin, but not now. Not after what happened. Besides, you know what people say. There might not be a word of truth in it, but you know the way people talk.
Yes, they talk. And I've given them much meat for conversation. I wonder if they know the truth, the real truth. Could they have guessed? It was for you, Alice, that I did it. It was all for you, Alice. I loved you. I loved you a great deal. We had been for a walk that afternoon so long ago when we were engaged to be married. You stopped suddenly by the banks of the river and you looked at me, almost appraising.
You're a strange boy, Ralph. We've been engaged 5 months now and I've never even met your family.
I haven't got a family.
Well, you've an aunt.
Alice, when the time is ripe, you'll meet her.
When the time is ripe. I'm so tired of being secretly engaged. It's all so pointless. Why can't I announce my engagement like other girls? Are you ashamed of me?
Ashamed of you? Great Scott, no.
Well, why keep it a secret, then? Even my family are becoming suspicious.
Stall them a while. Say that you're not sure you love me.
That's rather close to the truth, Ralph.
What do you mean?
I mean, I'm not at all sure anymore that I want to marry you. You've no gumption. You won't get a job and start out on your own like other people.
A little foolish for me to take a job as a $20 a week clerk, and there's not very much else I'm suited for.
But living on your aunt this way.
I'm not living on her, really, Alice. It's my money. She's going to leave it all to me someday.
Someday isn't now.
Aunt Mora doesn't approve of my marrying. You know that.
Do I? I don't know anything.
Do you want me to be cut off without a cent, Alice?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I'd love it. Give you a chance to prove yourself.
You're not being very practical.
Have you ever asked your aunt point blank how she feels about your marrying?
Well, no, because I know what her reaction would be.
You're making her seem an awful ogre. When everyone says she's so devoted to you, such a nice person.
I know Aunt Mora better than you, Alice. You have to let me do things in my own way. Aunt Mora's got a bad heart, and any kind of a shock would prove fatal to her.
But why should your engagement prove a shock? Oh, Ralph, we've had this argument so many times. I'm sorry, darling, but unless you feel free to marry me now...
Alice, give me a little time.
I wish I didn't love you.
Alice, I'll tell Aunt Mora tonight.
Oh, I'm sure she'll understand, Ralph. I'm positive she will. That is, if she's as devoted as people say. Devoted.
Devoted. Devoted. I went home. Tried to plan how best to break the news. After dinner, Aunt Mora and I were in the living room. The air was heavy with the rich, fat odors of mimosa perfume and rice powder. We sat in silence facing each other. And then she glanced at the clock on the wall and started toward the dark hallway. She was just about to walk up the stairs to her room when...
Good night, Ralphie. Don't forget to lock the windows. You forgot last night.
Auntie.
Yes, Ralph?
I've got to talk to you. I was wondering if...
If what?
I can't talk to you this way in a dark hallway with you peering down at me. What I have to say is rather confidential.
Can't it wait till morning?
I guess it could, only it's rather important.
Sounds like a matter of state.
I hate to mention...
You hate to what?
Approach the subject of money again. Heaven knows you've been generous enough.
Gambling debts again, Ralph?
Well, that isn't all.
Another woman?
Don't say another woman in that tone, Auntie. It's not fair. Do come in the living room and sit down.
All right. Straighten your coat, Ralph. Your clothes always look like you've slept in them.
Stop picking on me.
I'm not picking on you, dear. Now, here we are in the living room. What did you want to say?
Mind if I light a candle? Or is that a waste of candle wax?
Ralph, I've never minded how much candle wax you use. I've never said anything about it now, have I?
You looked it.
I think you interpret my looks to mean something they don't mean. You interpret so much into everything.
You're going to dissect me. We'll get nowhere.
What did you drag me down here for?
I want to get married.
Who is my future niece to be?
Alice Godwin.
Alice Godwin. I used to know her mother. If she's anything like her mother, she's a sweet girl.
She's a lovely girl, and she loves me.
I didn't even know you knew her.
Don't know everything about me.
I never supposed I did.
Well?
Well? Congratulations.
What are we going to live on? I mean, money, Aunt Maura.
I had supposed that the miracle of love had worked a miracle in your ambitions. I see I'm wrong. I offered to help you get a job 2 years ago. There was one that paid a good salary.
You know I'm not well. At least not well enough to take a job. My lungs.
Nonsense. Your lungs. The doctor examined you last month and said you were in the best of health.
The doctor. I know how I feel. Oh, Aunt Maura, you're going to leave me your money? Why don't you give me enough to live on now?
Because you're not capable of handling your own finances, Ralph, dear. Be sensible.
Sensible?
Yes. All you have to do is take a look at the record of the way you've handled money in the past. Ridiculous gambling debt.
Oh, I was young.
You said 6 months ago you were young. And now I'm to believe that you've grown up.
But...
And the women. You've spent a fortune on women.
It's natural for a young man about town
to... Waste hard-earned money? No, my dear. If you find a job and prove to me that you've changed, I might reconsider. But as it is... You'll not have a cent from me until the day I die.
Auntie.
Ralph, you're closer to me than any child of my own could be. I'm only doing it for your own good. Dear, you know as well as I do, I'm devoted to you. Devoted.
Devoted to me. Devoted in her own peculiar way. She climbed up the stairs to her room and left me alone in the sitting room with my thoughts. And my thoughts weren't pretty ones, not where she was concerned. She was determined to hang onto her money until she died. Death. Yes, perhaps her sudden death would be the answer. She'd lived her life. Obviously, what good was a rich, fat old woman? Death would put a stop to all this bickering over my extravagances. Then I could marry. The scent of mimosa perfume was heavy in the air, and the sweet odor of rice powder burned my nostrils, almost as if she were there. But she was upstairs, and I was alone. Alone with my thoughts of her death. But how? That was the problem. Accidental death, immediate, painless. The stairs. A bad fall from the stairs. A broken step. The second to the top. That was it. The shock of the fall was certain to bring on another heart attack. I knew I had the right idea. The second step. I had no sooner thought of it than I started to work to the kitchen for a chisel, a bit of wax. I had hoped Andrews, the butler, was in bed. But as I opened the door to the kitchen...
Mr. Rouser, are you still up?
Why, yes, Andrews.
Is there something I can do for you, sir?
No, I just thought I'd rummage about the ice chest and get myself something to eat.
I wasn't eavesdropping, Mr. Rouser, but I happened to hear you tell your auntie you were engaged. My congratulations, Mr. Rouser.
Thank you, Andrews.
Are you sure there's nothing I can get you?
Positive. I like to rummage an ice chest by myself.
You're positive, sir?
Yes, positive. Go up to bed, Andrews.
If you won't be needing me, sir, I don't suppose you would mind if I took the rest of the evening off?
No, Andrews, I don't mind at all. You don't have to come in till morning if you wish.
Well, I was going to be a wee bit late, sir. That is, if you don't mind.
I don't mind.
If your auntie asks for me, you'll tell her a likely story, won't you?
My aunt is sound asleep, Andrews. And she won't be needing you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. Well, good night to you, sir.
Good night, Andrews. That was good luck. First part was good luck, Andrews taking the night off. I knew I wouldn't be disturbed. I went to the tool drawer beneath the sink, opened it, took out the chisel, the hammer, and the floor wax, carefully wrapped them in a towel.
grandfather's clock in the hall was chiming. Aunt Maura always fell asleep within 10 minutes after retiring. She was proud of that fact, talked about it a great deal. She usually went to bed at 9, but here it was 10. 10 o'clock. I crept from the kitchen, then shut the door carefully behind me. Then I crept slowly, carefully up the stairs, one at a time, very slowly, very carefully, until I reached the second from the top of that long wooden stairway. I sat down on the steps, carefully removed the small nails which held the rug in place. Carefully, soundlessly, one by one, I removed the nails. Nails for her coffin. Perhaps I ought to save them. The thought amused me. I was so careful I had time to be amused. Amused. And anxious, too. Then, when the last nail was out, I pulled up the carpet and waxed the stair underneath. Waxed it well. Very well, until the carpet slid at the merest touch. Then, as I started to hammer just one nail to hold the carpet temporarily...
Ralph? Ralph?
Oh, yes, Andy.
I thought I heard you out there. What are you doing on that stairway?
Stairway? Why, nothing, Aunt Maura. I was just coming up to bed.
Ralph, would you do something for me? I don't feel so well, darling.
Your heart again, Aunt Maura?
Yes, I'm afraid so. Would you get me my pills and a glass of water?
Of course, Andy. I'd do anything for you. Anything.
You're so devoted, aren't you, dear? So devoted.
The stairway and got Aunt Maura's pills and water. Had she seen me fix the stair? Had she guessed? Nobody knew what went on in that mind of hers. It was almost midnight as I entered her room. I opened the door and walked to her bedside.
Thanks, Ralph.
That's all right. Anything else you want before I go to bed?
Nothing. These attacks don't mean a thing. Funny I couldn't sleep tonight.
Haven't you been asleep at all?
I must have dozed, but I kept dreaming. Very uncomfortable.
Dreaming of what?
I can't remember, except that it was unpleasant.
You ate a large dinner tonight. You always have nightmares when you overeat, you know that.
Yes, of course. Only it was so strange.
What's so strange?
To dream that you were trying to murder me.
Yes, that is strange.
Good night, Ralph.
Good night, Aunt Maura. I hope you don't have any more unpleasant dreams.
I hope not. I don't like unpleasantness of any kind. My heart won't stand it.
How much did she know then? That's what I keep thinking even now. How much had she guessed? I went to bed and tried to sleep, but my heart pounded with excitement. I laid awake a long time thinking of tomorrow. Tomorrow. Tomorrow Aunt Maura must be dead. Tomorrow. Then morning came. Tomorrow finally came. I dressed hurriedly. My hands were trembling with excitement. I wanted to be downstairs before she awoke, and then I could wait down there and watch her fall. Watch her die. I could enjoy my freedom. My freedom! I walked down the stairs, careful not to step on the wax second step. Andrews, the butler, was in the dining room setting the table when I came in.
Good morning, Mr. Ralph. Oh, good morning, Andrews. Where's the morning paper? Oh,
sorry, sir. I'll get it for you. Will you have your eggs 3 or 4 minutes this morning?
It doesn't matter.
By the way, sir, I didn't know you were interested in carpentry work, sir.
Who's interested in carpentry work?
You were working with a hammer and a chisel last night. I only mentioned it because...
Because of what?
Because you've disarranged the carpenter drawer with all those old nails you threw in there.
Nails? I haven't been near the drawer.
Oh, you must have, sir. The drawer was in perfect order last night before I went out.
Was it?
And we haven't had a carpet nail in the house for months. That is, until this morning. There's quite a little stack of them now.
Oh,
I'll get you your paper now, sir.
And my eggs?
Certainly, sir.
I'll get it, Andrews.
Yes, sir.
Confound it, nothing but peddlers at this hour of the morning. Coming!
Hello, Ralph.
Alice, what are you doing here?
I had to see you, darling.
Well, come in.
Thank you.
Have you had breakfast yet?
Yes, I have.
Will you have a cup of coffee with me?
Well, if you want me to, of course I...
Why, you're as nervous as a cat, Alice. What in the world is the matter with you?
I haven't slept all night.
Sit down here.
Thank you. I'm sorry to interrupt you in the middle of your breakfast.
Here are your eggs, sir.
Miss Godwin would like a cup of coffee, Andrews. Would you like some eggs, dear?
No, thanks, Andrews.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, darling, what is it you wanted to tell me?
Did you tell your Aunt Maura?
About our engagement? Is that what you came here for?
Yes. Did you tell her?
Yes.
Well, what did she say?
Nothing. She went directly to bed. She didn't feel well.
Then she doesn't approve.
Evidently not.
I'm glad, Ralph.
Glad? That's a strange thing to say.
All night last night, I couldn't sleep. I wanted to come over and give you this. That's why I came this morning. Take your ring, Ralph.
You're joking.
No. No, I'm quite serious. I've known for a long time. This is all a mistake.
Alice, darling, I...
Your coffee, miss.
Thank you.
That'll be all, Andrews.
Yes, sir.
Why have you changed your mind, Alice?
I suppose you are entitled to an explanation.
I certainly think I am.
Well, mostly it's because I suddenly realized I don't love you. I must have known that all along. Love can only stand so much of being hurt.
I hurt you?
Without knowing it. Yes, you did. Oh, how can I explain to you?
You don't need to. Not if you don't want to.
Oh, Ralph, I suddenly realized I was waiting for somebody that didn't exist. I was waiting for a you that never lived. And the you that does exist doesn't think enough of me to fight for me. Knowing that, Ralph, I can't go on. Please, take this.
All right. But you'll change your mind someday, Alice. You'll come back to me.
Maybe. But I doubt it. No, don't see me at the door. I can go myself. Goodbye, Ralph.
Andrews!
Yes, sir?
Where's the morning paper?
The young lady's left, sir.
If she isn't here, it's normal to presume that she's left.
Yes, sir, I get your paper for you, sir.
And then you can take the day off, Andrews.
Oh, thank you, sir, but I... Your aunt has asked me to go on an errand for her.
Well, then do your errand and then take the day off.
Aren't you interested in the errand, sir? You usually take such interest in these things.
Aren't you forgetting yourself a little, Andrews?
I don't think so, sir. I don't think so at all. I mean, after finding all those carpet nails in the carpentry box...
What are you hinting at?
Your aunt has asked me to go to her lawyer this morning and ask him to drop over.
Why?
I don't know, sir. It's unfortunate about lawyers. They can never come right over, no matter how badly one needs them.
Can't they?
Oh, sir. It'll take at least 3 hours.
Andrews.
We'll be back at noon, sir.
Andrews.
At noon, sir.
At noon. And he knew. But the man was a fool. If Aunt Maura were to die accidentally, I could manage him. In a short time, I could replace the carpet nail, scrape the wax off, and no one would take his word, a butler's word, against mine. I left the dining room and walked up the stairs. carefully up the stairs. Careful of the second stair to Aunt Maura's room. I stood outside the door for a moment, and then I knocked on the door.
Come in, Ralph.
Good morning, Auntie.
Good morning, Ralph. Would you take my tray?
Certainly, darling. Aren't you feeling well this morning?
Not very well, Ralph. It's my heart started acting up last night.
Here, let me take your tray. Then you can stretch out.
Thank you, dear. Ralph.
Oh, Auntie.
My heart. Oh, I think you'd better go for the doctor.
Aunt Maura.
Ralph, please. Get the doctor. The doctor.
Of course, Aunt Maura. I'll go right away. I'll be right back, Auntie. I'll be right back with the doctor.
Ralph, be careful of the stairs. Ralph, be careful of the stairs. Oh!
Be careful of the stairs. Be careful of the stairs. Careful, careful. And then that horrible falling sensation as I plunged headlong down the circular stairway. It overwhelms me and blots out any sane or sensible thinking. I'm alive. Yes, alive. But the mental pictures that haunt the inner recesses of my mind race by. Pictures of myself lying in a hospital cot and hearing Alice Godwin's voice from miles away.
How badly is he hurt, Doctor?
We can't tell yet, Miss Godwin. Compound skull fracture and some rather serious damage to the spinal column. We'll know much more in another week or so.
You said another week or so, week or so, week or so, week or so.
Oh, hello, Maura. Come in. Well, you're looking a lot better.
I'm feeling fit. How's my nephew, Doctor? Any improvement?
Well, we can't be sure as yet. A case like this takes time, you know.
Time, you know. Time, you know. Time, you know. Time, time. Months and months, and then I was home again. Home again.
Welcome home, Mr. Ralph.
Thank you, Andrews.
Ralph, darling. Here, let me help you. You'll learn to push the wheelchair by yourself later on. But right at present, you'd better let us do the work.
Thank you, Aunt Maura.
I'll push him, ma'am. You needn't worry, sir. We'll take care of you. Good care of you.
Yes. I know you will, Andrews.
Here's the morning paper. You can read it while I get dressed. We didn't expect you home from the hospital so soon. The doctor thought you'd be there another month.
Yes, I know, Aunt Maura. I know. They were going to try another treatment. The specialist seemed to feel it's hopeless. I'll never walk again.
Nothing's hopeless, Ralph. Nothing in the world. Especially if there are people around who are as devoted to you as I am. Simply devoted, my dear.
Yes, there she goes. My beloved Aunt Maura. My beloved Aunt Maura. Her skirts rustling as she waddles upstairs to her room. Devoted Aunt Maura. Devoted Aunt Maura. Devoted Aunt Maura.
It's that, now that was scary, huh? The expected air. Ooh, so scary. He planned this matter so carefully, too, only to have the rug pulled out from underneath him, huh? I know he wanted money to get out, but I don't think that was the sort of trip he had in mind, huh? That's what he said. You know, the more I think about it, the more I'm convinced, though. Because after it happened, he was completely floored, huh? I guess he thought his aunt would never call him on the carpet, huh?
Really?
No wonder he thought she was such an old shag. I mean, hag, huh?
Really?
I bet she'll always remind him of the incident, too, by her constant staring, huh?
but I've got to admit, she finally gave him what he always wanted, his own set of wheels, huh? And all that time, he needed financial backing, but now all he gets is backing, just to sit up, huh? Really, the nerve of some people. In this case, it's severed, huh? It all goes to show you, though, just how dangerous it is to fall in love, huh? Especially head over heels. But up next, it's Suspense with Sorry Wrong Number So Scary!
Suspense. And the producer of radio's outstanding theater of thrills, the master of mystery and adventure, William N. Robeson.
Radio drama is an art form which developed slowly during the quarter century between the perfecting of the audio tube of Dr. Lee DeForest and the video tube of Dr. Vladimir Zwyorkin. We feel that great radio plays, just as great stage plays, should be revived from time to time. Listen then to Sorry Wrong Number.
And now... Sorry, Wrong Number, starring Miss Agnes Moorhead. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Operator?
Operator, I've been dialing Murray Hill 40599. Now, for the last three quarters of an hour, and the line is always busy. I don't see how it could be busy that long. Will you try it for me, please?
I will be glad to try that number for you. One moment, please.
You see, it's my husband's office. He's working late tonight, and I'm all alone here in the house. My health is very poor, and I've been feeling so nervous all day.
I am ringing Murray Hill 40599.
Hello? Hello, is Mr. Stevenson there?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello, George? Yes, boss, this is George speaking.
Hello, who's this? What number is this, please?
I'm here with our client. Oh, good. Is everything set up for tonight? Well, yes, George, he says everything is set up. Good.
What number is this, please?
Where are you now?
In a phone booth.
Don't worry, everything's okay in my department. Very well. You got the address?
Sure, I got it all cased. At 11 o'clock, the private patrolman goes around to a bar on 2nd Avenue for a beer. Yes. At 11:15, a train crosses the bridge. It makes a noise in case her window is open and she should scream.
Hello?
Remember, George, make it quick. Our client doesn't wish her to suffer long. I'll use a knife, then. Yes, a knife will do very well. And remember, afterwards, remove her rings and bracelets and the jewelry in the bureau drawer. Our client wishes it to look like simple robbery.
I know. Don't worry. I never muff a job like this. Everything's okay. I never...
Oh, how awful. How unspeakably awful.
Operator?
Operator, I've just been cut off.
I'm sorry. What number were you calling?
Well, it was supposed to be Murray Hill 40599, but it wasn't. Some wires must have got crossed, and I was cut into a wrong number, and I've just heard the most dreadful things, something about a murder. And, operator, you'll simply have to trace that call at once.
What was the number?
Well, I don't know. It was a wrong number, and these two men, they were cold-blooded fiends, and they were going to murder somebody, some poor, innocent woman who was all alone in a house near a bridge. We've got to stop them.
What number were you calling?
Well, that doesn't matter. It was a wrong number. Now, look, it was obviously a case of some little slip of the finger. I asked you to get me Murray Hill 40599. You dialed it, but your finger must have slipped. And I was connected with some other number. I could hear them, but they couldn't hear me. Now, I simply fail to see why you couldn't make that same mistake again on purpose, why you couldn't try to dial Murray Hill 40599 in the same sort of careless way.
Murray Hill 40599. I will try to get it for you.
Well, thank you. Oh,
I'm sorry, Murray Hill 40599 is busy.
But operator...
Yes, ma'am?
You didn't try to get that wrong number at all. I asked you explicitly, and all you did was dial correctly.
I'm sorry, I will connect you with the supervisor.
Well, please.
This is the supervisor. May I help you?
Yes, I want you to trace a call, a telephone call immediately. I don't know where it came from or who was making it, but it's absolutely necessary that it be traced. Because it was about a murder that someone's planning. A terrible, cold-blooded murder of a poor, innocent woman. Tonight, at 11:15.
I see.
Well, can you trace it for me? Can you track down those men?
I'm not certain. I can try. May I have your name, please?
Mrs. Stevenson. Mrs. Albert Stevenson. But listen...
And your telephone number, please?
Plaza 37599. But if you go on wasting all this
why
time...
Why do you want this call traced, please?
Why? Well, I told you why. These men sounded like killers. They're dangerous. They're going to murder this woman at 11:15 tonight, and I thought the police ought to know.
Have you reported this to the police?
Well, no, not yet.
You want this call checked purely as a private individual?
Well, yes, but meanwhile...
I'm sorry, Mrs. Stevenson, but I'm afraid we couldn't trace the call just on your say-so as a private individual.
Oh.
We'd have to have something more official.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Well, all right, I'll call the police.
Thank you. I'm sure that would be the best way to get...
Oh, ridiculous.
Operator?
The police department. Get me the police department, please.
Thank you. I will connect you with the police department.
Oh, dear. Do you have to dial? Can't you ring them directly?
Oh. Police station, precinct 43. Sergeant Martin speaking.
Police department? Oh, this is Mrs. Stevenson. Mrs. Albert Smythe Stevenson of 53 North Sutton Place. I'm calling up to report a murder. I mean, the murder hasn't been committed yet, but I overheard plans for it over the telephone, over a wrong number that the operator gave me.
Yes, ma'am.
It was a perfectly definite murder. I heard their plans distinctly. Two men were talking, and they were going to murder some woman at 11:15 tonight. She lived in a house near a bridge. Are you listening to me?
Yes, ma'am.
And there was a private patrolman on the street. He was going to go around for a beer on Second Avenue. And there was some third man, a client, who was paying to have this poor woman murdered. They were going to take her rings and bracelets and use a knife. Well, it's just unnerved me dreadfully, and I'm not well.
I see. And when was all this, ma'am?
About 8 minutes ago.
And what was the number you were calling?
Murray Hill 40599. But that wasn't the number I overheard. I mean, Murray Hill 40599 is my husband's office. He's working late tonight, and I was trying to reach him to ask him to come home. I'm an invalid, you know, and it's the maid's night off, and I hate to be alone, even though he says I'm perfectly safe as long as I have the telephone right beside my bed.
Well, we'll look into it, Mrs. Stevenson, see if we can check it with the telephone company.
Check it! I've already taken care of that.
Oh, you have?
Yes, and personally, I feel you ought to do something far more immediate and drastic than just check the call. I'd say the whole thing calls for a search. A complete and thorough search of the whole city. I'm very near the bridge, and I'm not far from Second Avenue, and I know I'd feel a whole lot better if you sent around a radio car to this neighborhood at once.
And what makes you think the murder's going to be committed in your neighborhood, ma'am?
Well, I don't know. Only the coincidence is so horrible. Second Avenue, the patrolman, the bridge.
Look, lady, why don't you look at it this way? Suppose you hadn't broken in on that telephone call. Supposing you'd got your husband the way you always do, you wouldn't be so upset, would you?
Well, I suppose not, only it sounded so inhuman, so cold-blooded.
Unless, of course, you have some reason for thinking that someone may be planning to murder you.
Me? Oh, no, I hardly think so. I mean, why should anybody? I'm alone all day and night. I see nobody except my maid, Eloise. She's a big girl. She weighs 200 pounds. She's too... lazy to bring up my breakfast tray. And the only other person is my husband, Albert. He's just crazy about me. He just adores me. Waits on me hand and foot. He's scarcely left my side since I took sick 12 years ago.
Well, then there's nothing for you to worry about. Now, if you'll just leave the rest of this to us, we'll take care of it.
But what will you do? It's so late. It's nearly 11 now.
We'll take care of it, lady.
Well, will you broadcast it all over the city and send out squads? And warn your radio cars to watch out, especially in suspicious neighborhoods like mine.
Look, lady, I said we'd take care of it. Just now, I've got a couple of drunks here that require my immediate attention. Good night, ma'am, and thank you.
Oh, you... idiot. Oh. Now, why did I hang up the phone like that? Now he'll think I am a fool. Oh, why doesn't Albert come home? Why doesn't he? Get the operator.
Operator?
Operator, for heaven's sake, will you ring that Murray Hill 40599 number again? I can't think what's keeping him so long.
I will try it for you. I'm sorry. Murray Hill 40599 is busy.
I can hear it. You don't have to tell me. I know it's busy. Oh, if I could only get out of this bed for a little while. If I could just get a breath of fresh air or just lean out of the window and see the street. Oh. Hello? Albert? Hello? 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 Oh, what's the matter with this phone? Hello? 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 Oh, for heaven's sake, who is this? Hello? Hello? Hello?
What in the world? What are they trying to do to me anyway?
Operator.
Hello, operator. I don't know what's the matter with this telephone tonight, but it's positively driving me crazy. I've never seen such inefficient, miserable service. Now, look, I'm an invalid, and I'm very nervous. And I'm not supposed to be annoyed. But if this keeps on much longer...
What seems to be the trouble, please?
Well, everything's wrong. I haven't had one bit of satisfaction out of one call I've made this evening. The whole world could be murdered for all you people care, and now my phone keeps ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing every 5 seconds, and when I pick it up, it's over there.
I'm sorry. If you will hang up, I will test it for you.
I don't want you to test it for me. I want you to put that call through, whoever it is, at once.
I'm afraid I can't do that.
You can't. Oh, you can't. And why? Why, may I?
The dial system is automatic.
Automatic? And meanwhile, I've got to sit here in my bed suffering every time that phone rings, imagining everything.
I will try to check the trouble for you.
Oh, for heaven's sake, I'm going to be out of my mind. Hello? Hello? Stop ringing me. Do you hear? Answer me. Who is this? Do you realize you're driving me crazy? Who's calling me? What are you doing it for? Now, stop it. Stop it. Stop it, I say. Hello? If you don't stop ringing me, I'm going to call the police. You hear? The police. Oh. Oh, if Albert would only come home. Oh, let it ring. Go on, ring. Trick of some kind, I won't answer that one. Go on, ring, ring, ring. Ring. Stop it. Stop it, I can't stand anymore. Stop it. Hello, what do you want? Stop ringing me.
Hello?
Stop it, just stop.
Hello, is this Plaza 37599?
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm sorry, this is Plaza 37599.
This is Western Union. I have a telegram here for Mrs. Albert Stevenson.
Oh, well, I'm Mrs. Stevenson.
The telegram is as follows. Darling, terribly sorry. Tried to get you for last hour, but line busy.
Oh.
Leaving for Boston 11 p.m. tonight on urgent business.
Oh, no.
Back tomorrow afternoon. Keep happy. Love, signed Albert.
Oh, no.
Do you wish us to deliver a copy of the message?
No. No, thank you.
Thank you, madam. Good night.
Good night. Oh, no. I don't believe it. He couldn't do it. Not when he knows I'll be all alone. It's some trick, some fiendish trick.
Operator,
try that Murray Hill 40599 number for me just once more, please.
You may dial that number direct.
Oh, I can't do it. No one will do anything for me. Oh, Albert, how could you? How could you? I can't be alone tonight. I just can't. If I'm alone one more second, I'll go mad. I don't care what he says or Oh, what the expenses? I'm a sick woman. I'm entitled to a little consideration.
Information.
I want the telephone number of Henschley Hospital.
Henschley Hospital? Do you have the street address?
No, but it's somewhere in the 70s. It's a very small, private, and exclusive hospital where I had my appendix out 2 years ago. Henschley, H-E-N-C.
One moment, please.
Well, please hurry, and please, what is the time?
You may find out the time by dialing Meridian 71212.
Oh, for heaven's sake, I've no time to be dialing.
The Henschley Hospital is Butterfield 8, 2598.
Oh, Butterfield 8.
Henschley Hospital, good evening.
Nurse's registry, please.
Who was it you wish to speak to, please?
I want the nurse's registry at once. I want a trained nurse. I want to hire her immediately for the night.
I see. And what is the nature of the case, madam?
Nerves! I'm very nervous. I need soothing and companionship. You see, my husband is away.
Have you been recommended to us by any doctor in particular, madam?
No.
And our superintendent has asked us to send people out only in those cases where the physician in charge feels it is absolutely necessary.
Well, it is absolutely necessary. I'm a sick woman. I'm very upset. I'm alone in this house, and I'm an invalid. And tonight I overheard a telephone conversation that upset me dreadfully. In fact, if someone doesn't come at once, I'm afraid I'll go out of my mind.
I see. Well, I'll speak to Miss Phillips as soon as she comes in.
Miss Phillips?
And what is your name, madam?
When do you expect her in?
Well, I really couldn't say. She went out to supper at 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock? But it's not 11 yet. Where's my clock? Oh, my clock has stopped. Oh, what time is it?
Just 15 minutes past 11.
Oh, what was that?
What was what, madam?
That click, just now, in my own telephone. As though someone has lifted the receiver off the hook of the extension phone downstairs.
I didn't hear it, madam. Now about...
But I did! There's someone in this house. Someone downstairs in the kitchen, and they're listening to me now. I won't pick it up. I won't let them hear me. I'll be quiet, Melty. But if I don't call someone now, while they're still down there, there'll be no time. I've got to get the operator. I've got to get the operator. Operator. Oh, please. Operator.
Operator.
Operator. I'm in desperate trouble.
I'm sorry. I cannot hear you. Please speak louder.
I don't dare. There's someone listening. Can you hear me now?
I'm sorry.
But you've got to hear me. Oh, please, you've got to help me. There's someone in this house. Someone who's going to murder me. And you've got to get in touch with him. There it is. Did you hear it? He's put it down. He's put down the extension phone. He's coming up. He's coming up the stairs. Oh, give me the police department. Give me the police department.
One moment, please. I will connect you.
Please, get the police. The police got to hurry. Get the police. Oh, my God. What do you want? Oh, don't come near me. Please, I haven't heard any bloody. Please, I haven't. Please don't hurt me. Please, I haven't done anything.
Police department? Sorry, wrong number. Don't worry, everything is okay here. Suspense. In which Miss Agnes Moorhead starred in William N. Robeson's production of Sorry.
story, Wrong Number, written by Lucille Fletcher. Supporting Miss Moorhead in Sorry, Wrong Number were Jeanette Nolan, Virginia Gregg, Ellen Morgan, Joe DeSantis, Byron Kane, and Norm Alden. Listen. Listen again next week when another tale well calculated to keep you in suspense. This is the CBS Radio Network.
Wasn't that the scariest, though? Really? Oh, sorry, wrong number. Ooh, that was poo scary. Poo. Oh. Like I've heard of dialing in for murder, but really,
Oh, let me tell you.
I bet that lady wish she had been far away, a long distance away, Maybe then her life wouldn't have been so abruptly cut off, One thing worries me, though. With all her money and ID gone, I wonder if they'll confuse her with someone else. After all, she is a dead ringer,
That's what she said.
I'll say this much for the murderer, though. At least he was a smooth operator,
Really?
You know, in fact, one survey rated him as the very best. It was in the phone poll,
No.
But seriously, my favorite part was what he said at the end, what you could call his phone line, I bet this is one time the husband won't mind paying for the disconnection fee, Well, kids, I better fly. So until next week, same bat time, same bat station. This is the Count saying, the next time you hear someone discussing murder over the phone, try not to get hung up over it,
No.